On the note of that last podcast about the six enemies of yoga, Om Namo Narayan, and this is Ali, and just carrying on from these conversations, I think it's wonderful that we can have this opportunity to open up some of the points of discussion for when we get to India and really start to move beyond the fundamentals of getting caught up in the mental restrictions of perhaps not being prepared for a trip. I wanted to read you something from a book which is called Meditations and Mantras by Swami Vishnu Devananda. It's called Uprooting the Ego. It's something I really hope that we will, well, I plan to make this a point of discussion later on. So I want to know if you identify with any of this, or whether by listening to these, this reading, it prompts or illuminates anything within you or something that's relevant to you. So this is a, I might not read the whole thing, but it's a few paragraphs on uprooting the ego. So he says, it must be evident by now that meditation involves far more than sitting with eyes closed in concentration. Meditation demands rigorous introspection, an overhauling of one's personality, life patterns and values. So what he's saying is that meditation asks us to look deep within and really scrutinize all that we hold dear to us, all of those patterns that have come up in our own life and the kind of personality we use. So he continues, behavior correction and uprooting of weaknesses are relatively easy adjustments to make. So behavior correction, whoa. Are you ready for it, people? Uprooting of weaknesses are relatively easy adjustments to make. The more serious obstacles to meditation and spiritual practice, which lie deep within, are the emotional imbalances and the personality defects that nurture outward bad habits. I think this is absolutely fascinating. Emotional imbalances, personality defects. The petty, obstinate egoism behind the mask of the human personality is one of the biggest hurdles to overcome, for it veils the divine self, it supports surface thoughts, and perpetuates its own habitual feelings and actions. This lower nature must be whittled down, for if it persists in retaining its limited false values, no amount of sadhana, no amount of spiritual practice will bear fruit. Too often a student says he or she wants to study and practice meditation, yet they are willing to eradicate the lower nature and change old habits. Clinging to them, they refuse to even admit the need for change. This type of student will never make any real progress, because brief spiritual experience without radical transformation of the lower nature will lead nowhere. It is not easy to change deeply ingrained habits, and the sincere beginner often feels helpless against them. But regular sadhana or regular spiritual practice, untiring selfless service, association with spiritually minded people, and a strong determination to eradicate egoism leads to a powerful but selfless development. One must introspect and discover all weaknesses and defects. And I'm going to stop there and just say, this is what I'm asking you to do prior to the trip. What are your weaknesses? What are your defects? What are your, the parts of you that are limited or imbalanced? We all have them. There's no shame in this. But by identifying them and by sharing those aspects then, or at least as we go, you know, seeing when they come up, discussing them, it allows us to grow. I'll continue on. This is considerably easy for those living under the guidance of a guru, who points them out and indicates subtle ways to eradicate them. The transmutation of lower nature to higher nature demands full and heartfelt dedication. To make the transition to the highest goal, a willingness to surrender the ego is needed. Then, only then, through this persistent endeavour, will real change come about. So I thought that was very, very interesting. An interesting start about uprooting the ego. He goes on to say, the ego cherishes its own ideas and impulses. It refuses to follow beneficial instruction. It loves exaggeration, hypocrisy, secretiveness, and these are all traits of a dominant ego. So hypocrisy, exaggeration, secretiveness are all traits of a dominant ego. One who is in the grip of it may even lie in order to cover up their errant ways, to maintain their status or position, and to indulge in their own ideas and bad habits. Wallowing in self-justification and denying faults and defects, the student may be unaware of the effects of her action, for the intellect has been clouded by impurities. Not knowing what he or she means, not meaning what they say, being self-willed and self-satisfied, and too narrow-minded to see the error of their ways. One who is not straightforward cannot keep discipline or open their heart up to others who cannot be helped by any teacher. Nothing can help one who has deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Such an aspirant, instead of making progress along the path, remains stuck in the mire of his or her own creation. If there is any recognition of something wrong, the slightest attempt to improve, or even slightly be receptive to an attitude where errors can be corrected, the one who is frank with his teacher and begins to realize the nature and the source of his defects will soon be on the way to improving his or her life. Power, name, fame, wealth, which strengthens and reinforces the ego, are all renounced and sacrificed by the serious aspirant. For Westerners who are taught to revere individuality, the need to surrender the ego is especially difficult to understand. But there is no half measures. Discipline of senses and constant meditation must be cultivated in order to make progress. Well, thank you very much, Swami Vishnu Devananda. I really think there are so many parts of that we need to work on our trip. The seeds of the ego fall far and deep, and sometimes they need to be uprooted, the weeds, they call them. So the weeds themselves are called the avidyas. You know how I mentioned before about the mahavidyas? Well, the avidyas are the opposite of knowledge. These are five conditions which always bring misery and pain, and they are the cause of negative karma. The avidyas are like clouds that conceal our perception, our ability to see ourselves as a universal being. And these avidyas stop us from being authentic. So one of them, as just rightly said by Swami Vishnu Devananda, was the ego, where we identify with our own selfishness, our own sense of arrogance, our own individuality and separateness, our own self-image. And unfortunately, with the ego, if we don't do work on it, then no amount of meditation or yoga is going to amount to anything. The lack of truth, the dishonesty, the arrogance, and the need to be right are all indications of what they deem as the lower mind. Another part of the avidyas is desire. We talked about that a little bit earlier when people shop in Rishikesh. Wanting something regardless of whether it's needed or not. That'll be very interesting, and especially when it comes to packing. You might think you want that thing to come to India, but do you really need it? Are you going to use it? And I want you to be rigorous in what you bring. Three changes of clothing, one on your body, one for tomorrow, and one in the wash. And that idea of the attachment to our belongings, thinking, oh, I'll put it in just in case. Our dependency on certain things, our need for pleasure, for craving and addiction are all part of desire. Our addiction to alcohol, our addiction to meat, our addiction to our cell phones, our addiction to having to talk to people at home, our addiction to having to be online. All of these are part of desire. And I want us to ideally move past this. Another one of the seeds is hatred, refusing to accept change, feelings of hatred, not liking this thing, not liking that thing, not liking the way that there is rubbish there and whereas we've got landfills, you know, not liking things that are different. And so we have to be very careful of hatred or dislike, creating any seeds of dissent or incompatibility between us as a group. I want the five of us to be deeply bonded, to have each other's backs, to always be looking out for each other, to be helping, harmonious, to be open and honest, to support each other in our growth, to be understanding that sometimes when terrible bouts of anger or negativity comes up, that we move on from them, that we discuss them, that we don't let them damage or shatter our motivation for what we're doing. So it's very important for us to allow irritation to just, you know, be let go of, to document clearly if we are having issues and to bring them out and to discuss them in a time which we might call, okay, let's open up for any issues. And I go around with each of you and it's up to you now to be honest. Yes, I do have an issue. I have an issue with that, the way that you said that thing or with the tone of that. I have an issue with this and I have an issue with that. And we open it up for discussion. Sometimes there's a moment where there's times where we, instead of talk and chatter incessantly about nonsense, about rubbish, that we take time for silence. So I want us to move away from some of these bad habits of having to criticize, and sometimes some people fear solitude. They fear being alone or having time for themselves. So we work through all of this. Another one is fear and anxiety itself, grasping to things, gripping to life, clinging to things, clinging to comfort. Every one of these results in a type of pain or suffering. And so, you know, sometimes we can feel confused or doubts rise up or we are not sure why something is happening. We lose our vital energy. We kind of, need something to stimulate us. And again, one thing in India, there is no coffee. I'm just letting you know, coffee is not a thing. The coffee that they have tastes like piss water. You need to be weeding yourself off of your coffee addiction and perhaps switching temporarily to tea. If you don't have a caffeine addiction, then you won't have a problem. But these sorts of things, fear of giving up your coffee, fear of giving up your alcohol, fear of giving up your meat, fear of giving up all your medications your comforts. So this is going to be very normal, but I want you to do your rigorous training. I'll just think I'll finish there. I've given you a lot of hard work to do to be able to move past your loss of confidence, to be able to take new steps, override or root out your arrogance or ignorance, to become disciplined, and be able to find motivation for change, to be patient with yourselves. And that's something I have to learn to do too, is to be patient. Everybody's at a different stage, so you've got 6 months to come up to speed. To be aware that to rest when you're feeling lethargic or tired. You need to rest. You need to take time out. Even if you think or fear that you're going to miss out on something, sometimes it's important to realize that being tired or feeling not quite well is a gift. It gives us the opportunity to recoup and to catch up on our energy levels. So this is number 5 of our podcast series. If there's anything that you would like more on, then let me know. But I'll gradually wheel through all that I think you need to know. And hopefully this will get you better prepared for some of the changes and challenges we have in India. Om Namo Narayan. Have a great day. Bye.